anyone who has recently driven down a street or turned on the television or listened to the radio or even answered the telephone, anyone who tuned into the chapel address yesterday is aware that the big election is just 11 days away. And from the standpoint of American politics and history, it will certainly be one of the most important days in this four-year period. From the standpoint of American politics and history, some have even been saying that this will be the most important election in our lifetime. And there doesn't seem to be much disagreement that the results on November 5th will directly impact social and economic developments in our country. Long before lawn signs and prior to the positioning of polling places, however, there was another election which surpasses all others in importance, an election which has resulted in only good things for us. One of the reporters to break this story was the prophet Isaiah, who begins his 42nd chapter with this quote from God: "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights." Here was the situation. God knew in eternity that there would be a large number of people who were going to be in need of a leader. He was aware of an enormous throng of people who would need to be delivered from deadly clutches, a throng of people who would be unable to deliver themselves. And God was determined to fill the position of this needed deliverer. Those who were enslaved were all the members of the human race, and the one whom God elected to deliver us was his son, Jesus. This was an election like no other. For one thing, this public servant, the election of this public servant, was not based on fragile and fleeting human fondness, which often plays such a big role in our electing of rulers. God the Father selected his perfect Son, being the one perfectly suited for the job of rescuing mankind as well as for every other task. God declares how Jesus delights him, and God can delight only in that which is perfect. As true God, equal to the Father and one with the Spirit, Jesus is and was and always will be perfectly suited to take on the tasks set before him, the chief task of which was establishing justice. "I have put my Spirit upon him," said God. "He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles." Our enemy, the devil, had done mankind a terrible injustice. As he enticed Adam and Eve to sin, he promised them the heights of glory when in reality his purpose was to bring them down to the depths of despair. He promised them true joy when all along he was simply pulling them down to terrible sorrows. And in doing so, he successfully enslaved every single descendant of Adam, placing every one of us squarely under the condemnation of the law. Jesus was elected to reverse that injustice, and to do so in a remarkable way. He was elected to bring justice to the entire world by coming to the world and becoming one of us, taking upon himself the full guilt of our sins, receiving the full punishment of God for that sin, by which he delivered us from all condemnation. By taking our place in this way, he was able to obliterate the grip that the devil and hell had on us. This was part of the platform for God's elect. He would be sent to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house, and that's just what he did. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth. As the all-powerful God, Jesus was up to the task. He was able to do all that was assigned him. And as the perfect one, he was reliable to carry out everything that he had said. Mere mortal politicians are in a completely different category. Some of them offer us the moon, only to admit later on that they fell far short of that goal. Jesus, on the other hand, will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail. He's promised us paradise, and so paradise we shall have. He's already completed the hardest part of fulfilling that promise. He's cleared us of all condemnation with the shedding of his blood. Now we simply wait for the perfect moment for him to put on grand display all that he has prepared for us. But that's not to say that things are just in a holding pattern until his reappearing. This elected public servant is actively engaged in our lives on a daily basis, directing our affairs in such a way that we will be delivered from all that saddens and troubles, whether here in time or soon in eternity. Continuing with this platform, so to speak, found in Isaiah, "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you," that is Jesus, he's speaking to his son, "in righteousness, and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, the new things I declare. Therefore they spring forth. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." By the way, have you ever heard that observation? Perhaps more true for politicians than most others, that the weaker a person's point is, the louder it tends to be shouted. Another delightful aspect of God's elected servant is that he has no need to be loud and bombastic. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. His word is so sure to succeed that it accomplishes what it is said it will do, even when spoken merely as a whisper. And so at election times, it's helpful to be reminded that we are dealing here only with elections in time, elections which have only temporary effects. The most important election of all took place in eternity, when the Father chose his Son to serve as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the President of Presidents, the Governor of Governors. He was sent to do all that is needed to be done, and he has been carrying out his job flawlessly. Because of God's elect, we have, among other things, been given life, liberty, and the promise of happiness. Life, eternal, liberty from death, and the certainty of a happiness which is perfect and pure, with him in glory. In that land, that heavenly land of the free and the home of the saved. Before singing our hymn this morning, which speaks of Christ's election by God the Father, we have a prayer. The news was received that Mrs. Eunice Rail is undergoing some serious surgery this morning. We pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for electing your Son in eternity to serve as our Savior from sin and death. And we thank you that you determined to bring Mrs. Rail to saving faith in our Lord Jesus, so that regardless of what does or does not take place during her earthly days, she has a place by your glorious side where eternal pleasures await. We thank you also for the countless blessings which surround your children as we journey to glory, among which is the gift of healing, which you so often bestow through the advances in modern medicine. Graciously guide the hands and intellect of the surgeons this morning as they strive to restore health to our sister. Your love for her is unquestioned. Your power over all things is unmatched. Your wisdom is infinitely higher than our own, and your mercy is unwavering. Display your love, wisdom, and power yet again, and mightily send your Spirit to comfort Mrs. Rail and her family with the assurance that you do know what you are doing at all times, and that you maintain for her and us a future and a hope. Amen. hymn 262, stanzas 1 and 2, first two stanzas of hymn 262.